In John chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. And Jesus saith unto them," verse 7, "Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." I want you to look back at verse number 5. "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatever he says, just do it. Don't argue with Jesus. Don't try to come up with your plan. But whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Praise the Lord. I was listening to Lester Summerall give a testimony of when he first had started out in the ministry. The Lord spoke to him to go to a small community in the South, and he went to that small community, and there was a building there that was empty, and the Lord said, "I want you to start preaching right there." He started preaching before anybody ever came, and it wasn't too long until they filled that building up, and they had to find a bigger building and another building. And he was telling about how that you don't question God when he deals with you. Just do what he tells you to do. He was praying one morning, and the Lord said, "Go to the airport." And so he said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do." You know, we've got so sophisticated, we tell the Lord what to do now, don't we? But he went to the airport, and he was standing in line, and the Lord said, "Go get in the line for the Philippines." And he said, "Lord, I don't have any money. I just came here because you told me to come, but I don't have any money." He started backtracking then. The Lord said, "Go stand in the line." And so he waited in the line until he got to the counter, and they were asking for the information and asking for money. That's back when you paid there at the counter. And a man stepped up behind him and put the cash down in front of him and said, "God told me to do it," and walked on. He said, "Boy, I'm into it now." Had to go. Bought his ticket for the Philippines. He said, "Lord, I have no idea what you're wanting to do with me or where you want me to go." But he landed in Manila. And when he got off of the plane, he was just wandering around on the streets. He was praying. He had enough cash to be able to get a motel room. And so he got a room and went inside and began praying. And he had picked up a paper as he was on his way. And as he was praying, the Lord dealt with his heart to get that paper. And he opened it up, Brother Jarvis. And on the front page was a picture of a woman with bite marks all down her back, all over her arms, all over her legs. And the caption was, "Bound by demons." She was being held in the downtown jail. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, "That's why you've come. He went to that jail downtown and said, I want to go in and see this person. They said, no, we've sent the priests in and they've come out beaten and bruised and we've tried this one and that one. He said, you don't understand. I am a Pentecostal preacher. Put me in the room with this woman. I know what to do. He went into that cell and cast the demons out of that woman. The mayor of the city contacted him and said, whatever place you want to hold your meeting, you just tell us wherever you want and you can have it. He said, I want the large Colosseum. It was the largest building and the largest structure there in the city. After he said it, he said, Lord, now you've got to fill this building up. He thought to himself, I'm going to look like a fool out there with maybe 100 people that will show up, maybe not even that many. They packed that Colosseum out night after night. It went on for weeks. Devils were cast out. Bodies were healed. Lives were changed for eternity. And can I tell you right now, the results that took place in that great crusade, the results are continuing on as a result of what God did through one man who said, Lord, whatever you say to me to do, I will do it. Hallelujah. Oh, whatever he tells you. Mary said, I know who this is. He's not normal. He's not the average. Whatever he tells you to do, you just do it. Let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, God may be dealing with you to do some things that may not seem like it makes a lot of sense, but if you'll respond to Him, God will always get the glory out of it. Hallelujah. When you do whatever He says to do. A woman was sitting in church and the Lord spoke to her heart and said, go up to the front of that church. And a lot of churches have the communion table sitting right in front of the pulpit. And the Lord said, knock on that table three times. And go sit back down. This woman who really prayed, loved the Lord, she said, God, everybody will think I'm a fool. But the Lord continued to deal with her heart. So she got up and started going to the front. What she didn't realize is there was an atheist in the service. And he looked around and he said, well, if there is a God, would you have somebody go up to the front of the building and knock on that table three times, not say anything, and just go sit back down? If you'll do that, it'll prove to me that there is a God. The woman got up, walked to the front, knocked on the table three times, went back to her seat and sat down. You could hear the sniffling as that atheist came and fell across that altar and asked the Lord to come into his life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever he says for you to do, do it. Glory to God. Don't resist what the Lord would speak into your heart. But whatever he says to you to do, do it. Glory to God. I was in my office one morning. It was about 4 o'clock when I broke all the way through. And the Lord spoke to my heart about the islands of the sea, and then very specifically, God dealt with me about Haiti. Now, David Lloyd is a good friend of mine. We traveled together in ministry, and that was my first thought. I'm going to go and see if I can help him. But I said, Lord, you know right now the finances aren't there. There's no way I can do this. I'm pastoring a church. I can't just up and leave, because, brother, I felt like I needed to go right then. But I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You make the way, and I'll go. That morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, a man knocked on my office door. The secretary had sent him in to the office. And he said, you don't know me, I don't know you. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm an Assembly of God pastor. God spoke to me. I was out here on vacation, and God told me to come by. I've got to buy you a ticket so you can go to Haiti. You need to see what God is doing in Haiti. Glory to God. Since that day, the Lord has allowed us in several different congregations to raise support for children, raise support for the Lloyds. Amen. I'm telling you, whatever He tells you to do, just do it. Whatever He speaks into your heart, respond to Him. Amen. Be a part of what God is trying to do. When the Lord deals with us, many times we close off. What would have happened on this day if these men would have said, it doesn't make any sense. We're going to serve them water. Hey, when God tells you to do something, it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always compute. And let me tell you why. Because He's God and you're human. You see the little picture, but God sees the big picture. Hallelujah. He's not wanting you to try to figure it all out. He's wanting you to obey Him. Glory to God. We were in service over in Illinois. There was a man that had been backslidden for years. Nobody could touch his heart. The pastor told us later, said everything we tried, said it was a miracle he even came to church that night. He came because he had a relative that was a part of our ministry team that was ministering that night. My cousin, Stephen Snow, he's a missionary now to the Philippines. I'd say this is probably one of the reasons why God said, Stephen, I'm going to take you because you'll do whatever I tell you. Stephen got down on his hands and knees and crawled around that sanctuary. I mean, he was crying. God was humbling him. I mean, the whole way around, some of you are looking right now, you're going, oh, Lord, don't tell me to crawl. Please, Lord, don't tell me. I just don't know if I could do that. Yes, you could. You love God. This is a good church. These are good people. You love the Lord. You'll do whatever He tells you to do. Amen. Because when you do, it always produces results for the kingdom of God. When Stephen got to the back of the church and he was crawling around on his hands and knees, I saw this man who was standing there, and you could see on his face just hard and rebellious. I didn't know all the story, but I could tell this man was filled with hate. But as soon as Stephen got behind him, that man fell across that pew in front of him, started weeping and crying. Different ones in the church gathered around him, took him to the altar. God gloriously restored his relationship. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Instead of arguing, instead of debating, instead of wondering what the outcome is going to be, just respond and do exactly what the Lord tells you to do. Glory to God. We were pastoring down in Arkansas. It was the first church that we pastored. And I've, since that time, Brother Jarvis, there have been a lot of times where I've said, Lord, I won't try to take credit for anything that happened in that church if you won't hold any of the dumb stuff that I did against me when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. I was in my 20s when I went there, and I did some foolish things as a pastor. I tried to do everything right, but anyway, let's move on. Praise the Lord. When the Lord spoke to my heart to leave from there, we went out to California. The church had called us. The day after I resigned, the church called from Keys, California, and asked us to come pastor. It had some real issues. The church had dwindled down to just a little over 100 people, and that church had always been quite a bit more than that. There was bills that had not been paid for over a year, and there was just some struggle that was going on. But when I got there, Brother Rice was there, one of the best men I've ever met or known. And I said, Brother Ryan, I don't want them to even vote on me if you feel like you're ready to take this church, because you're the pastor. God spoke to my heart and said, Ryan is the pastor of this church. And I said, Ryan, if you want this church, I'm not going to let him vote. He said, Brother Snow, I'm not ready. And he hadn't preached a lot of weddings or funerals, hadn't preached a whole lot. At that time, he had never been a part of board meetings, didn't know, in a church that grew the way that church grew. He needed to have some of those things. The Lord knew it. There was also some internal things that needed to be dealt with that it would have been very difficult for him to deal with. He's called several times and said, Brother Snow, thanks. I know you felt kind of like a bulldozer operator at times, but it was preparing. Now that church is doing outstanding. Glory to God. Amen. And for years leading up to this, my wife and I, we traveled, and I would pull out a map and take my fingers and place them on Dos Palos, California, and I would just weep. I mean, there were times where I thought maybe that God was calling me to go there and start a church, but I never felt that confirmation, but I just felt like praying for Doss Palace. And I would pray and intercede and seek the Lord. And this was years before we ever went to Keys. And when we got there, we'd drive past Doss Palace, and every time I'd see the sign, I'd start weeping and praying and saying, God, send somebody, do something in Doss Palace. And many times at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up and I'd just hear, Doss Palace, Doss Palace. I'd get on my face and begin to pray and seek the face of God. And I had one of my deacons come to me one Sunday morning there while I was pastoring in Keys. He said, Brother Snow, he said, there's a sister who pastors a Pentecostal church down in Doss Palace. She's called and asked for me to come and maybe preach a few nights. I grabbed a hold of him. I said, go, brother. God's in it. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Snow, I've never preached outside this church. I've just exhorted a little bit. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, God will tell you what to do. Go, brother, go. He went down and preached, and 9 people got saved. The first time he preached, 9 people got gloriously delivered. She called for him to come again. He said, what do I do? I preached everything I knew the first time. I said, no, God will give you something else. Brother Peter went back down and preached again. This time more people got saved. He said, Brother Snow, what am I going to do? They want me to come pastor. I said, brother, God wants you to go there. Hallelujah. He's still pastoring there today. That's been about 9, 10 years ago. Pastoring there, they run about 100 people consistently. God is delivering people. Oh, glory to God. Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. Glory to God. If you close yourself off to the supernatural working of God, He won't use you in that way. But if you open yourself up, God will use you gloriously for His kingdom. Hallelujah. Our song leader back home in Des Moines, Iowa, he's only done this probably 4 or 5 times. But the Spirit of God will begin to move on him while he's leading the singing. And he'll go out and pray for someone. And almost every time, as people he did not know, they were the first time visiting in the church. We are so afraid of being Pentecostal that we're going to run people off. Folks, that's what people are looking for. That's what people are hungry for. You see my brother the other night run around the church? Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, moms and dads with teenage boys, when they come in and see a boy running around the church, you know what they'll think? They'll say, that's what I want my boy to do. I'm tired of him running after the drugs. I'm ready to run for God. Hallelujah. You know what it'll do inside of them? It'll ignite a fire in them. Whatever the Lord tells you to do in this house of God, do it. Respond to His Spirit. Move with the power of God. Amen. Don't you realize He's given us the gifts of the Spirit? Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the discernment of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. Don't you realize that He's moving in this hour, but He's looking for a church that'll say, whatever you say, God, I'll do it immediately when you tell me to do it. There was a woman that had moved out from California. She came. She was visiting in our church. Brother Carter left the platform. He was just trembling and weeping. I wish you could meet Brother Larry. I wish you could meet my whole church. Got some of the most wonderful people in the world. I mean, they love the Lord. Brother Larry just began to tremble and shake as he came off of that platform, walked out to this sister. The doctors had told her there was nothing that they could do for her. Did you hear what I said? That's a horrible thing to hear from a doctor. There's nothing that we can do for you. She showed me her medical records and all the things that had gone in her physically before that day. Hallelujah. And she also showed me what had happened since that day. On that day when he put his hands on her, God miraculously healed her. And the doctor said, we don't know who you are. You're not the same person that was here before. Woo! Glory to God. I'm about to preach myself happy because I know God has got some saints in London, Kentucky, that He's ready to raise up. And whatever He tells you to do, you'll do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Came off the platform one Sunday morning. It was a sister had only been there for a few weeks. She had come visiting with her family. She had a stomach condition. The doctors were getting ready to do surgery. She had all kinds of problems and complications with her stomach. And the doctor said, "We don't know if the surgery will work, but we've got to try something or you're going to die." When he put his hands on her, hallelujah, that woman started weeping, crying. She wasn't used to Pentecost. She hadn't been around anything like that. And when Brother Larry gets carried away, sometimes he'll, "Woo! Glory to God." I made sure Brother Tom and everybody was awake just then. Hallelujah. I mean, he gets excited. Hallelujah. You would too if the Holy Ghost was using you. Glory to God. When he put his hands on her, God immediately healed that stomach condition. That's been about 3, maybe close to 4 years ago. She testifies about it all the time, how that she was before and how she is now. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it. Hallelujah. Respond to whatever God tells you to do. One night we were having church. God was moving in a glorious way. I stopped the service. Went over to a man was sitting, "Brother, about where you're sitting right there." I had never seen that man before he came visiting. I put my hands on him and began to prophesy things that only God could have known. Amen. Don't prophesy unless you know God's telling you to do it. But if God's telling you, you better do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He had been hurt. He had been wounded. He had made up his mind. He was just going to give up on church. He wasn't going to try anymore. But that night, God restored his relationship. What would have happened? I wonder how many people come to church and leave without getting the miracle that God desires for them to have, because God is prompting you. He's telling you to move. He's telling us to do something. But we're afraid of what somebody will think. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Glory to God, right here, five years ago, however long it was, standing right up here. Amen. Brother, when you told me what the doctors had said, I started laughing. I don't know if you remember that, but I laughed. And I said, "I'm not laughing out of irreverence, but I just heard from heaven." Glory to God. I'm telling you, I could feel it all the way down in my bones. Glory to God. I said, "You are going to have a child." Hallelujah. You better not say something like that unless God tells you. But if God tells you, do it. Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to come to the house of the Lord believing that this could be the night. Amen. I keep repeating myself, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to apologize. It must be the Holy Ghost telling me to do it. We come to the Lord's house, and we don't realize this might be the night that God does the miraculous that we've been waiting on for years. If I mess up the furniture, I'll buy a new furniture. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us to get it in our spirit that whatever God wants us to do, we're willing, we're ready to respond and do whatever he would tell us to do. Glory to God. You see, right in here, God is getting us ready for what's going to happen outside the doors of this church. Glory to God. I left my house at about 2 in the morning. One morning I told my wife, I woke up just frantic. I said, "I feel like somebody's going to go to hell. And I've got to find them." And I just began to weep and pray. And I said, "Pray, honey, that God will lead me to that individual." Now, if you just ate a bunch of pizza and you wake up nervous, don't go pick up a homeless man. He might kill you. Amen. But if God tells you to do it, you better do it. And the Lord spoke to me that I had to go. I saw this young man. He was walking at a junction. I mean, I just pulled out and been driving just a few minutes. I saw this young man. I pulled over and rolled down the window. I said, "Hey, you need to get in my car. God send me for you." Man, you should have seen the look on his face. He said, "Okay." I said, "Do you need a ride somewhere?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Good. It's about 30 minutes away." You know, I usually preach about 30, 45 minutes. So that's a perfect amount of time to just preach. I started giving him Jesus, telling him how the Lord loved him and how that God had woken me up to come and pick him up. And that young man leaned forward on the dash and began to weep and cry. He said, "Listen to me. I was on my way to commit suicide. I was going to end my life tonight. But I said, God, if you care, would you send somebody, please? Oh, whatever he tells you to do, do it." Hallelujah.
Glory to God. A few months back, a man came to me. He said, "Brother Snow, this will sound like the craziest thing you've ever heard of." He said, "In fact, let's go in your office so nobody can hear it." He said, "God spoke to me to go buy this." And he opened up his Bible, and it was a Marilyn Manson ticket. He said, "God told me to go to a concert." He's got a King James Bible about the size of the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. He carries it everywhere he goes. He painted Jesus, painted a reference on the back of his T-shirt and on the front of his T-shirt, "Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life." And it was where when the lights went down, you'd be able to read it. And carried that big old Bible in there and had a pocket full of tracts. He said, "Brother Snow, what do you think?" I said, "I wouldn't go." Hallelujah. "But if God told you to go, you better go. And if the Lord told me, I would go." But I said, "You need to be praying. You need to fast before you go to that filthy thing. It's the most sinful, wicked music. I'm telling you, he is the most, I don't need to go any further. It's just unbelievable." And so he went into that concert, Brother Gilpin. And he said, "I was standing there thinking, I missed it. I missed it." He said, "I was sick at my stomach, that filthy music going on." And I told him, I said, "I'm going to be praying with you that the PA will mess up." He said, "Brother Snow, while I was praying, the PA would mess up. It got so muffled in there, you couldn't understand anything that was being said." And he said, "I just started rebuking the devil." Hallelujah. He's standing out there in a kind of a break when they had a little break there in the concert. And he said, this guy comes walking by with two big glasses of beer. And he said, when he walked past him, he looked at him with that Bible. He said, "Bible thumper." But a few minutes later, he come back by. "What are you doing here?" I walked over to him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "God sent me here for you. That's what I'm doing here." The man said, "I used to go to church." He said, "Well, you need to get back in church." He said, "My life's falling apart. My marriage is falling apart." He said, "I made up my mind I was going to come to this concert, and then I was going to leave this concert." He said, "I've got my gun in the car. I was going to go pull off somewhere where nobody knew where I was at, and I was going to blow my brains out and end my life." He said, "No, you're not, because God cares about you. He loves you. God cares for you." Amen. He gave him a card, and the man lost the card. And so a few weeks later, he's driving down the road and he said, "Lord, I need to get right, but I don't know how to get right. How can I get right with you?" And he reached up for the sun visor to pull it down because the sun was in his eyes and the car fell right in his lap. And he called Ian, and Ian led him to Christ right there on the phone. Hallelujah. You ought to see this man in our church. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he's... Raise your hands and worship God. Glory to God. He's ready to have church. Hallelujah. Oh, whatever he says to you to do, just do it. Don't hesitate. Don't pull back, but do what the Lord would tell you to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mary said, whatever he says, just do it. Don't hesitate. They went to get the pots. And I'm telling you, I believe it this way. I believe when they filled it up, it was water. When they carried it to him, it was water. When they dipped it out, it was water. But I believe when they took it in their hands, it became the best tasting juice that they had ever had. Hallelujah. So good that the expert juice taster, glory to God, he said, "I haven't had it this good before. I have never had it taste so good." And usually they wait or they give you the best first and then start serving the stuff that's not so good. But you've saved the best for last. What would have happened if while they were carrying the water and it sloshed out on their shirts, one of the servants said, "It's still water. Put it down. Let's run. We don't want to look like fools." But no, whatever he says to you to do, you just simply obey. Sister, would you come to the music tonight? Here a few years back, you got to meet our friend Nanjambi, and at that time it was 167 churches that they had started in Togo in West Africa. Now there are over 400 churches strong. Glory to God. I met the biggest portion of those pastors. I'm talking about men of God. Dedicated, sold out. There's Assembly of God Bible College in Togo that's very, very conservative. You know what the Assemblies of God has said? Bobby Johnson is a good friend of ours. He was telling us about some of the reports from the assemblies. There's a lot of the African assemblies that have told us, don't send us any more missionaries if they're going to come and be so different from us, because we're Pentecostal. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, these men that are out there in the bush, this Bible school at Togo, these men are men of God. Well, Brother Rains had told me about Nanjambi, and I said, well, Brother, I'd like to go. Let's pray that the Lord will make the way, and I'll go. He called me one morning, said, I've got a check for $2,400. God has made a way. You're going. I went to Togo. We had over 100 people get saved, and that was just going to small bush churches all through Togo in just about a four-day time, getting to preach to all those pastors, ministering to those pastors. Oh, brother, it was one of the highlights of my life. When we came back, we called for Nanjambi to come. The Lord helped us. I'm not saying these things to boast. Just saying what God did. We raised thousands of dollars, and since that time, still raising funds to help them plant churches all through Africa. When I was getting ready to go, my board came to me and said, Brother Snow, you cannot go on this trip. I had not gone home for Christmas vacations. I had not been anywhere other than that church. Just preaching in that church, they said, you can't go anywhere. You cannot go on this missions trip. And you need to get up and apologize to the congregation for even thinking about going on a missions trip. I started laughing. I thought they were joking. Does that not sound like one of the craziest things you've ever heard? I mean, does that kind of contradict a little bit? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? I said, brothers, there ain't no way I'm going to apologize for going to Africa. They fought me until the last moment. The superintendent from our district came down and met with the men. Finally, he turned around and looked at me, and he said, Brother Snow, he turned back and looked at them. He said, do you know who you have as a pastor? Again, I don't say this both. This is what he said. He said, this is a Pentecostal preacher. This is a man of God. He said, I'm the superintendent, but I can tell you this. It is a rarity now in the Assemblies of God to find a real Pentecostal preacher. He's Pentecostal. And he said, turned around and looked at me, and he gritted his teeth. And he said, Brother Snow, don't you ever apologize for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? I lost my home. I lost my job. I lost my place to live. I lost everything to go and preach in Togo. And I'd do it all again. Because right after that, the Lord opened the door in Des Moines. We've never been loved like we're loved in Des Moines, Iowa. Those people love us. We love them. Praise God. It may not always make you the most popular. It may not be the most convenient. But whatever He says to you to do, do it. Do it. Hallelujah. Do it. Which one of those 100, Brother Jarvis, do I need to apologize for? Which one of those? No, thank you. Whatever He says. Whatever He says. Hallelujah. Whatever He says to do, do it. One night I preached on missions. I've always preached on missions. And one night I had preached when I was assistant pastor with Brother Royce Roy, which in my opinion is one of the best men that God ever made. I preached that night, and when I got through preaching, my little girl, 4 years old, came down to the altar. Now she's 18.
She just cried and prayed that night. And Brother Greg, I thought, wonder what's really going on in her heart. She came up to me the next day. She said, Daddy, last night Jesus told me I'm going to go to Africa and tell the children about Jesus. Praise God. Since that time, she's built a church in Africa. She's worked to help in other projects with Africa. Right now, she's preparing to be a missionary in Africa. Glory to God. She's been with me on mission trips, and she's going to go with me on more mission trips. Glory to God. Whatever He says to you to do, do it. If you're a boy, if you're a girl, if you're mom, your dad, your grandma and grandpa, whatever. You realize Smith Wigglesworth, when he was in his 50s, when he really got committed to the Lord. In his 60s is when the Lord put a calling on his heart, but it wasn't until the 70s that he started preaching, and really his ministry never took off until he got in his 80s. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody says, oh, Brother Snow, you're going to make Brother Jarvis nervous, thinking that a bunch of his people are going to leave and go to the mission. But no, that's not the kind of pastor Brother Jarvis is. We know that the kingdom of God is so much greater than we can comprehend. But I believe God wants you to bloom where you're planted. And right here, the Lord wants to use this church, whatever He says. Whatever He says. Whatever He says for you to do, do it. Glory to God. Those men responded. They did something that might seem to some as a small thing. But tonight, I've spent an entire sermon preaching on what those men did. It has profoundly affected the church throughout generations, what a handful of men did. Wouldn't it be tremendous tonight for God to just lay His hand on your heart and say, I need you to respond to me. I want to work in your life right now. Will you stand your feet across this room, those able to stand? Raise your hands as high as you can get them. Hallelujah. Glory to God is a sign of surrender. And say, Lord, whatever You say to me to do, I'll do it. Lord, whatever You tell me to do, hallelujah, whatever You say to me. Friend, you might be here tonight and you'll say, preacher, I'm not even where I need to be with God. Then I know God is dealing with you. I know He's telling you to get out from where you are. Come to the front of this building. He wants to turn your life around. And right now, whatever He tells you to do, you do it. If God's dealing with you, you come right now, friend. God wants to turn your life around. Will you come right now? Glory to God. Do not stay one more day in the condition you're in. Become. Hallelujah. Trust Him to move in your life. Now, I'm going to ask, I want you to be patient. I'm going to ask tonight, are there boys and girls and young men and young women that will say, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to be willing to do it. If God calls me to be a Sunday school teacher, if He calls me to work in the bus ministry, if He calls me to work in the Christian school, if He calls me to be a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do it. If you're a young person, you'll say, that's my heart. I want you to come right now. Come. Glory to God. Come and just stand right up here at the front of this building and lift your hands and say, Lord, that's my heart. That's my cry. Whatever You tell me to do, glory to God. Whatever You tell me to do, I'll do it, Lord. Whatever. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Young people, how about it? I'm young, but my life is not my own. It's Christ. Jesus, You died on that cross for me. Lord, I'm willing to take up the cross and follow after You daily in my life. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Are you here right now in this room? And you'll say, Brother Snow, I must have a miracle before I leave this church tonight. I must have a miracle. I want you to step out from where you are right now And I want you to come to the front of this building. Could you come over on this side? Because we've got a group over here. Would you come and stand over here so we can differentiate who we're praying with tonight? I've got to have a miracle. I need the Lord to move. It might be a financial need. It may be a physical need. It may be a loved one that just burdened your heart beyond anything that you can express. I want you to come and stand right here. Glory to God. The Lord spoke to my heart many years ago to give opportunity for those that need a miracle, and He'd work miracles. Glory to God. Can I tell you, there's people spread all across this country and other parts of the world, amen, that testify God's still a healer. Hallelujah. Glory! He's still in the miracle working business. Several have come to us, Brother Jarvis, and told about some miracles that took place several years ago. And I know it's not me. I'm just saying, I believe God, friend. I believe God wants to heal you. He wants to work a miracle in your life tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Could we all come find ourselves a place to pray, call out on God? Young people, lift your hands, lift your voices. Let God begin to pour out His Spirit on you. At this young age, make yourself available. Moms and dads, as we come, and others that are here tonight, as we come, will we find ourselves a place to get alone with God and say, Lord, whatever You would tell me to do, I want to be willing to just do it. To just do it. Hallelujah. Without hesitation, I want to do it.